No roadblocks are scheduled today on Highway 70, 54 South, or 380. For the latest roadblock information, call 575-678-1178. Tonight's forecast, mostly clear skies. In Alamogordo, expect a low of 26. Cloudcroft, an overnight low of 17. For Tuesday, we're looking at sunny skies, clear tomorrow night. In Alamogordo tomorrow, high of 56, low of 28. Cloudcroft tomorrow, high of 46, low of 23 degrees.
This is the Roundup on Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230 AM and 101.9 FM. Going from the Tularosa Basin and beyond. This is your local connection to the world of sports. From high school to college and to the pros, we cover the latest news and the biggest stories. And don't forget, this is your show. Change the topic anytime. Call us at 437-1230. The Roundup starts right now.
Welcome to the show. It's the Roundup here on Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230, 1019. You thought I was going to wimp out today. No way. Was I in a bad mood for the most of Saturday and Sunday? Yes. Yes, I was. Thanks for asking. It's all good. It is just sports at the end of the day. Sometimes you have to remind yourself of that. And it's also one of those I really have to remind myself of, why do I care what other sports personality media folks, you know, got to make these big declaratory statements and get all, you know, it's like, why should I care? You know, that is one of those things that you should ask yourself anytime you get a little worked up, is why do I care? You know? So anyway, we're going to start with local stuff. If you do want to call in and talk about something else, as always, we can change it up anytime. 437-1230. Always happy to hear from y'all. And we can do any of that stuff, you know? All right, we'll start with Alamogordo boys basketball. Great road trip for the Tigers. They really got pushed in both games out at Clovis and Portales. The Portales game especially. I thought Clovis, it was a close game throughout, but it kind of felt like Alamo was in control. Alamo trailed at the half to Portales, and I think the Rams had it out to almost a 12 or 13-point lead. I don't know if that was right at the end of the first half or into the second half, but that game I thought was good for the Tigers, because I talked about it during the broadcast on Saturday that they really haven't trailed at half a whole lot this year. You know, they've done a good job of putting themselves in a good position at halftime most of the season. And they were able to fight back from that. Defense did some great things. A lot of different players stepped up and had good games. And, you know, you're 13-3 headed in district. It's good. It's something to feel good about. Now, obviously, kind of the bummer of, hey, you played 16 games, you went 13-3, but the next 10 games kind of are going to spell your season in a lot of ways. If you really struggle, then it kind of takes away from everything you did in that first half of the season, unfortunately. So, but I imagine for those guys, that's not that big of a deal for them. They're ready to go. They're excited to be heading into a new part of the season. So, a little bit of a bump up in the rankings for the Tigers. They're up to 10, which, you know, again, that's something that'll, I'm sure, fluctuate a fair amount. And I'll say it again. If they have a really good district season, like I say, if they go 7-3, so that gives you, you know, you definitely got to win the road game against Gadsden. You win all your home games, and then you get one on the road against somebody else. So Oregon Mountain, Mayfield. And maybe even provides you that you'd get swept by Las Cruces, which, you know, you don't want that to happen, but Cruces is 15-1. They're playing some really good basketball. It does provide a little bit of a room for error, but if you get to 20 wins, there's, I think, a pretty solid chance, and you finish second place in your district, that Alamo could get a home playoff game, which the boys haven't had a home playoff game probably coming up on a decade, I think, for basketball, because they, I'm trying to remember this now. I think it was, so they went to Kirtland the year after. Was it St. Pius they had in their place? And it was when they were not the top classification there for a couple of years in basketball. So it's been a bit since that happened, but all those things really aren't that important. I mean, you just kind of got to focus one game to the next. As cliche as that sounds, that's exactly what the coaches and players, I'm sure, would tell me as well. But I would almost guarantee that if they had, we'd asked them at the beginning of the season if this is where they would be going in district, they'd be pumped. Honestly, though, after the how the season has gone so far, they're going to feel like the three that they lost, they could have won all of those. I think that they're all, you know, the coaches and the players are all going to feel like, you know, we could be unbeaten right now. So it's one of those things that, you know, they had a great chance to win at Carlsbad. The Goddard game, I don't know. That was probably the game that they've played the poorest this year, I would say. And Artesia would have been tough as well, but I'd say if anyone that they certainly could have had was Carlsbad. That game was back and forth and seesaw the whole way, and it just didn't go the Tigers' way. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the next few weeks go. You know, Alamo's done about all they can do positively in their non-district season and how they perform in district. With, you know, they'll go play a good Centennial team on Tuesday. That's, you know, going to be a challenging team. It's 10-6, and you know they beat Los Lunas at the beginning of the year. Lost a close one to Hobbs. Rio Grande, they've got a win over Del Norte. They've lost Sandia. Beat Sandia the second time around in triple overtime. Wow. Lost a close game to Mayfield. Beat El Paso High. Lost to Cibola. Lost to Cleveland, but they were in both of those games. Lost to Mottwood. Beat Silver pretty comfortably in Valencia. Close game against Roswell, but they get the win. Deming. And then they beat Carlsbad by 17. So take some of those and the common opponents for what you will, but the Centennial's, I think, as good as any team as Alamo's played this year. And that's the thing. But, I mean, vice versa. I think Alamo is, you know, a tough matchup for a lot of teams because they have a lot of different guys that can play well. And, you know, it's always an intense matchup against Centennial every time. I talk about non-district games like Los Lunas and it being intense. Centennial seems to be right up there as well for whatever reason. I couldn't tell you exactly why, but it is. But we know Mayfield's good. We know Oregon Mountain's good. You know, all the Cruces schools. Cruces is, I mean, they're the best of the group going into the district season. So if they don't win the district, I sort of feel like that would be a little bit of a surprise. If Alamo can unseat them, you know, sky's the limit this year for the Tigers. So, and you know, one thing I will say, Alamo hasn't played a ton of 5A teams this year. That's why I thought the win over Clovis was important. Did they have a win over a 5A team this season? That was something. Los Lunas. They beat Los Lunas twice. I think that's. Oh, no, Roswell, too. Sorry. But, you know, I mean, again, they're playing a lot of 4A teams. It's not like they're playing bad 4A teams in their other matchups. But, you know, it is one of those things that it is a little bit of a different level. There's no doubt about it. So I'm excited to see what happens. It'll be really interesting. But the Tigers hold their destiny in their own hands at this point, you know, and they don't have to be perfect in district in order to make the postseason. They can have some slip-ups here or there. I think, listen, if they win six games in district, I think that should be enough. Now, is it enough to get them a home playoff game? That might be a little bit of a question mark there. But if they go 6-4 in district, which, you know, again, that's an example. You know, you get your five home wins and you win your road game against Gadsden. So you're giving yourself we don't have to win at Mayfield, at Oregon Mountain, all of that. You know, that puts the Tigers at, 19-7. They're going to be in the postseason. And 6-4, you're probably finishing at least third. So that is very doable. 5-5 probably gets you in. So it's one of those that, hey, defend your home court. Don't let anybody come and beat you at your place. And maybe you can steal one or two on the road. You never know, you know, what that'll end up being. So, and by the way, no disrespect to Gadsden, but they're struggling this year. And I think for all the district teams, a loss to Gadsden is going to feel like a huge disappointment. You know, those kids are going to try hard. Alamo doesn't have to play them on senior night at their place this year. They do every other year, and I'm telling you, every other year, that is always a scary proposition to play them on their senior night. It's been a little bit of a house of horrors at times down at Gadsden in some of the seasons. So it's either been a struggle to win or they've lost down there. So, yeah. All right. So good weekend for the Alamogordo Tigers. They should feel pretty solid about their results there. The Alamogordo girls head into district at 7-9. And I'm trying to pull them up here. Trying to back up to like going as slow as humanly possible. They get Centennial at home on Tuesday. Do want to mention, if you go look at the Max Preps, it shows Mescalero on there. The Alamo JV is playing Mescalero on Thursday over at the Tularosa tournament. Alamo JV's filling in for a team. I think they're on Thursday and Saturday. Friday they'll play Oregon Mountain on the road. But just so you know, if you see that, that's what's going on there. And we talked about the Lady Tigers on Friday. No, I guess we didn't. We didn't have a show on Friday. But Lady Tigers are 17th. They're still right there on the bubble. You know, they know what's in front of them. I will say, you know, so I mean, you've got Cruces, Mayfield, Centennial that are all sitting right there in around top 10, 8, 9, 10 in the Max Preps rankings. Alamo and Oregon Mountain and Gadsden, 17, 19, 22. So that's a little more difficult one to try and figure what will be enough for the Lady Tigers. Do they need to finish top three? Here's what I will say. If you finish top three, you're in. I think that feels safe, especially if you finish a full game ahead of fourth place, because they would have to take you over. Well, I guess it depends on who. Yeah, they'd have to take you over one of those Cruces, Mayfield, Centennial teams in order to get in. So that, to me, you know, whatever the record is, that would be enough. Fifth or sixth is not going to be enough, I don't think. Even if you have a bunch of teams grouped together that go 5-5 in district, which can happen in this, you know, 16 district, you could have one team that goes undefeated, another team that goes winless, and everybody else just beats up on each other, and 2-5 ends up being a log jam. You know, could go a lot of ways. And the one positive I will say for basketball, you do still have the district tournament. So even if the regular season doesn't go well, you do have the district tournament to fall on. However, if you don't do well in the regular season, that district tournament is so tough to get through, you know. The other part of it, though, is there's not a dominant team in the district this year. There's not somebody that is just leaps and bounds better than anybody else. So that's something to be positive on, but it's still going to be challenging. Centennial is going to be a tough one coming in on Tuesday for the Lady Tigers with you know, a team that wins over Rio Grande, Clovis, who they beat by a bigger margin than Alamo did, Nogales. I wonder what tournament that was. Valencia and Los Lunas. They beat Valencia, not Los Lunas, at a tournament. They've actually lost to Los Lunas twice, but played them a little bit better than Alamo did. Played Hobbs at about the same kind of clip. Beat Roswell, beat Carlsbad. Of course, Alma lost to Carlsbad. Del Valle they've beaten. They beat up on Deming. But losses to La Cueva, Sandia. They only lost to Rio Rancho by 9, and that's arguably the best team in the state. So it just goes to show that, like I said, there isn't a dominant team in the district this year, but you know those teams, Centennial, Cruces, and Mayfield, are all good. Now Alma, of course, has played Mayfield already this year, and struggled a bit against them. So get a first taste of it tomorrow. Lady Tigers at home as they host Centennial. So we'll see if they can get off to a strong start. If I remember last year, man, they were so competitive in so many games in district and, you know, made some strides forward and picked up some wins, like beating Oregon Mountain, I know was a big deal for them last year. But yeah, I'm trying to remember. There was a couple others where they were, and they lost a 1-point game at Gadsden, almost beat Oregon Mountain. So, I mean, what I will say for them is to give themselves a real shot at, they really have to win both their games against Gadsden and Oregon Mountain. You know, 4-6 might be enough. You know, we'll see. So, all right, looks like we got a phone call. Let's go to the phone. You're on the Roundup.
Hey, Charles, Rich Stokely. Good afternoon.
What's up, Rich?
I know you're on the high school portion of your radio show, but I just, when I mentioned to my wife that Coach McDermott had gotten fired, she wasn't surprised. She was kind of expecting it. I just wanted to see what your reaction was to it.
I was surprised that after they won the first, like if they lost to Jacksonville, I would have been less surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like he was dealt a poor hand in a lot of ways this year, and I don't understand why the GM is getting a basically
promotion.
A promotion. Yeah, he's director of player personnel and general manager. So there was clearly a power struggle that went on there, and Sean lost it. And I'm willing to be open-minded and see what happens, but I have a hard time feeling like Sean McDermott was at least this year the problem. Now, other years there have been some poor in-game coaching situation, but I don't know. I mean, it's sort of is what it is.
Sure, I agree with you. The only problem I had was when there were 16 seconds to play in the first half and we had no timeouts, instead of doing, I told Amanda they're going to go into victory formation and we're going to come out in the second half. And then, you know, Josh ran around, fumbled the ball. They could a free three-point play right at the end. And they asked him about it afterwards. He says, well, I knew there was only 16 seconds left, but I thought he'd either throw it out of bounds or do something. But even if he did, and then when he scrambled, of course, at the end of the scramble, there wasn't any time left on the clock anyway. So I just thought that was the only coaching decision I have that I would question him about, was why not go to the victory formation, you're only down a touchdown, instead of giving them a chance for Josh to make a play like he used to do. In the olden days, he's been a lot more disciplined this year. And then the other question was obviously the one where we threw the pass right before the end of regulation, and it was the guy caught it and he was down, and then the defensive man had it in his hand, and they called it an interception.
That wasn't regulation. That was overtime.
That was overtime. Okay.
Yeah, that was the Bills' possession in overtime, I think, if I remember right.
Okay, you're right. So. But I heard an ex-NFL official explain it in detail, that there's three things. One, you have to secure the catch. Two, you have to make sure you're not don't give two feet in bounds. And third, you have to make sure that you have to make a football move, and that he hadn't made a football move yet when he caught the ball. So he agreed with the decision to call it an interception. And I just thought I'd ask what your opinion was of that. That call as well.
Yeah, and you know, maybe that was the end of regulation. It all sort of blended together.
Yep.
I don't know. My issue with it is there's a lack of consistency with the NFL and what is a catch and isn't a catch. They, you know, I saw people bringing up the Xavier Worthy deal last night, in the one of the Devontae Adams catches was very similar to that, but
And how about it? And I think it was towards the end of regulation. Our pass receiver was in the end zone, and it was a clear pass interference call. I saw it right away. My wife saw it away. He grabbed his arm and everything, and there was no call on that play. It was right before the end of regulation in the end zone on the right-hand side, if you remember that one. And they didn't call pass interference, and I thought they should have called pass interference in the end zone. We got the ball at the 2-yard line, if you remember it.
I mean, throughout a game, I mean, again, there's going to be holding calls and things that aren't called, and I don't get as bothered one way or the other on those. I mean, that's going to happen, and I think especially in the postseason, they're going to let more go is the way that I would view it. The catch thing though is, you know, that to me is one of those that I feel like that they don't apply the rule the same from game to game. And I get that it's not ever the exact same situation, but this has been a problem for about 15, 20 years in the NFL, and it's going to keep cropping up. And I don't have an answer to what'll make it better, but it's going to be frustrating for fans. And, you know, there's going to be times that this is going to happen in, you know, it's going to be in the Super Bowl in a late moment. And it's, you know, that's not what the NFL wants, I guess I would say. So.
Sure. Okay. All right. 20. going to bounce it off you. So we'll, our season's over, and we'll start again next year.
Yeah,
with a new coach.
Yeah. That I think that's my other thing is with firing McDermott is, who do you think you're going to get as better? And I've heard like Brian Daboll and Joe Brady, and I'm like, I don't really feel like those guys are better options. But
and Brady, especially, he was promoted from the quarterback coach to the offensive play caller. I don't think he's ready for a head coach, and I know another team has already asked for permission to interview him for a head coaching position, and I don't think he's ready. I don't think he should be our head coach either, in my opinion.
You know, there's another one that I'm just like, I don't know what the right answer is there, in terms of who the coach is. But I'll just say, when I hear those names, it doesn't really get me excited. But then again, that doesn't necessarily mean that guy isn't capable of taking them somewhere. So, yeah.
I agree. Okay. Thanks, Charles.
All right. Thanks. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Sorry, folks. I'm answering a text. All right. It is your Monday. Thanks for joining us. 437-1230 if you'd like to answer in, or not answer, but if you'd like to get in on the show for whatever reason that you'd like to. So, we're talking high school hoops. I don't think I had really much more to add on the girls' side. For the Alamo girls, so we'll see what they can do. But 7-9 going to district, they're already two games ahead of their win total from last year. I'm sure they would love to get to 500 this year. Which again, if they were to get to 500 this year, that would put them. They'd have to go at 7-3 and 6-4 in district. Yeah. If they go 6-4 in district, they could get to 500 this season. And I think that's gettable for them. I think if they can go go 500 in district, that would be a big step forward. It might be enough to get them into the postseason. So we will find out. Tularosa boys, meanwhile, 14-2 now as they continue on their non-district season. They've got Magdalena at home. Mags is not as good as they have been in recent years. They're still a good team, but they're not quite the dominant program that they've been at times in recent seasons where they could beat some of the best 2A and 3A teams. But I guarantee you that's going to be a challenge tomorrow night. That'll be over in Tularosa. And then they'll play Mesilla Valley Christian. Mesilla Valley's really solid this year. They're 10-3. I think two games that Thule will feel like, hey, we should get these are, a couple of, a single A, double A team. They're both quality single A, double A teams, but they'll feel like, hey, we should get these two victories this week, and continue along. They've still got two this week, and then two more games, so still four non district games remaining in the Wildcat season. They drop a little bit in the poll; they're at 6. However, next week they play Cobra, so they can help their own cause there. So that'll be a big game next week, and they also play Socorro. Socorro's struggling a bit this year, so. But I think all four very gettable games for them in the next 2 weeks for the Wildcats. And again, for them, they're eyeing getting the best possible seed that they can as we head down the stretch in the season. So, Thule girls got a win on Friday over Chaparral as they go on the road and win 43-27. So they get to 8-6 now. They'll go to Estancia Tuesday, and then they host their own tournament, open up with Socorro on Thursday. I haven't seen a bracket yet. I think I'll get that tomorrow. No school today, so unless I just missed it in my email, which totally, totally likely that happened. But we'll post a bracket for that one. And I believe that's the last in-season tournament we have for high school basketball this season. I don't think there's any more left. So Lady Cats have Estancia. They've got the three games this weekend. They're also going to go to Fort Sumner next week. And Monte del Sol Charter, I guess, is coming down this way. So they've still got 6 games in their non-district schedule remaining. So still some left to be decided there. And rankings-wise, they are 12 right now in 3A. So they're, again, in a good spot. And they're going to get, I think, some good matchups coming up this week in their home tournament, and next week trying to finish up with some quality wins. And it's going to be a super tough district, though. Nimmy's at 7, Dexter's at 8, Rodosa's 16. Everybody's pretty good. Nimmy's 10-1 now. They're having a really good season. I think they maybe haven't played quite as many 3A, 4A teams, but that's still, I don't care who you're playing, that's still an impressive start to the season. So, Cloud Crop boys and girls, the boys finished up with a couple wins over the weekend at the Dexter tournament. They beat Pine Hill, they beat Loving. So 8-9, they're just a game shy of 500. They only have one game this week. They get Dexter at home, and then district begins for them next week. And not much has changed in the rankings for them. They're sitting at 23, and it'll be interesting to see. You know, beating Dexter obviously would be a big thing, but that'll be a challenge. You know, the problem in that district for Mescalero and for Cloudcroft is Mesilla Valley Christians sitting up there in the top six, and then the next team in the district is 21st. And I know I talked about this a lot next week, so trying to figure out the path into the postseason, I guess I just wonder if one of those teams, Cloudcroft, Lordsburg, Mescalero, Capitan, if they win all their district games with the exception of the Mesilla Valley games, is that enough? And I'm not totally sure it is. So it may be district tournament or district regular season district championship or bust for everybody in the district except for Mesilla Valley Christian on the boys' side. And I think it's pretty much the same on the girls' side. So Mescalero boys don't have a game this week. Tough weekend. Lost to Jow. Lost to Texaco. Texaco's really good on the boys' side, so we knew that was going to be a challenging one for sure. But like I said, kind of the same circumstance that we're talking about with the Cloudcroft boys. And Mescalero girls had a similar weekend. Lost to Jow. Lost to Texaco. And they... I said, that district, it may just be whoever wins it gets in. Lordsburg's at 14. Mescalero's 22. And I think everybody else is further behind that. Capitan, 28. Cloudcroft, 26. Mesilla Valley Christian, 30. And Max Preps right now. So, but what I would say is Lordsburg is not... I would say leaps and bounds better than everybody else in the district. So there may be a chance for some of the rest of the teams to have a run at that and have a run at the district championship. So we'll have to wait and see. Mescalero Apache girls, they're playing at the Tularosa tournament. They open up with the Alamo JV. So they've got three games coming up this week. And Alamo Wrestling had another solid result. They were down at the El Paso Bowie tournament. Let me make sure I get these right. I know they had some placers again this weekend, but let me pull it up from their page. Terrence Armijo finished 8th. Finn Krofka was 4th. AJ Benitez 3rd. Damian Montoya 5th. Ale Regales finished in 8th. So some solid finishes down in El Paso this weekend. Just one event for wrestling this week. They're going to be on the road. They'll be taking on Centennial on Wednesday, so best of luck to Tiger Wrestling there. And, yeah, you got to think that they're going to have, on the boys' side, at least 3 or 4 guys that should have a pretty good shot at making state this year. And I would think Allie's got a real good shot at going to state, and maybe Ava, I think, will have an opportunity at it. So be excited to see how those men, women finish up their season in Tiger Wrestling. Okay. We'll take a break. If you want to call on the show, 437-1230. Of course, tonight is the national championship game for college football. You can listen to it here at Alamo Sports and Talk. Coverage starts at 4:30, so we'll have that for you here on 1230 AM and 101.9 FM. Back with more of the Roundup coming up next.
New year, new score, new you. Start 2026 with confidence because your credit score matters. At OFCU, we make it easy to check, improve, set goals, and take control of your financial future with credit score. Enroll online in the digital banking app or at OteroFCU.org today and make this the year you shine. A better credit score means a better you. Other restrictions may apply, federally insured by NCUA.
Your success is our success. We belong to you.
The Winner's Circle has been outfitting champions for over 50 years in Otero County. Established in 1970
by our Gigi and Big John.
Let's show our school spirit, whether you're a tiger, wildcat, bear, or chief. We can make t-shirts, sweatshirts, polos, and hats. And we do custom embroidery, too. The Winner's Circle does it all. Custom orders available for businesses, squadrons, and organizations, like hats, polos, name tags, also trophies and awards.
Winner's Circle,
1111 10th Street. Go, Tiger! See you at the game!
Looking to transform your home's exterior? Meet Rudy Ochoa. With years of experience in stucco, Rudy and his crew deliver quality craftsmanship and stunning, flawless finishes. 575-442-6745.
Ryan Richardson Motor Company wishes the Tigers an amazing winning season. May your efforts match your dreams. Buy, sell, or trade late model cars, trucks, and SUVs. Financing available. Stop by for a test drive and score an amazing deal with Ryan Richardson Motor Company. 318 South White Sands Boulevard or online at ryanrichardson.company. That's ryanrichardson.company.
Michael Shinneberry here. Join me for live and local discussions every Tuesday and Thursday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. on Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230 a.m. and 101.9 FM. If it's local events, we talk about it. If it's politics, local, state, or national, we talk about it. Pick a subject, we talk about it. We're now streaming online at alamosportsandtalk.com. It's the Michael Shinneberry Show every Tuesday and Thursday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. only on Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230 a.m. and 101.9 FM.
You guys just didn't want it bad enough. That should have been an easy win. What were you doing out there? You got to hustle. You could have made that play if you'd been open.
On the car ride home after the game, when you think you're helping by telling me what I did wrong and what I need to work on, all I hear is that I'm not good enough, that I'm supposed to be perfect, that it's not okay to lose. On the car ride home, all I need to hear is how much you love me and enjoy watching me play, that my worth isn't determined by my performance, that even on my worst day, I am worthy. That you see me learning, growing, and doing my best. And that is enough.
This message presented by the NMAA and the New Mexico Athletic Directors Association.
They go by many names. Side-by-sides, off-highway vehicles, utility task vehicles, and buggies are just a few that come to mind. But whatever you call them, make sure you're riding legally. The Lincoln National Forest has no trails that allow UTVs above 50 inches wide. What we do have is plenty of dirt roads that wind near beautiful streams, through mountains, that allow all types of UTVs on them. In other words, some of our trails accommodate four-wheelers and dirt bikes, but not side-by-sides. However, our Forest Service roads are fair game. The trails in the Lincoln National Forest were built long before modern UTVs became popular, or were even invented in some cases. The trails just weren't built to withstand use by large, heavy vehicles. Don't ruin the ride by getting a ticket. Stay on the road and off trails. Don't drive through streams or rivers, and be safe. Help keep our trails open and damage-free. If you're not sure which roads you can drive on, download our motor vehicle use map on our website. Please ride responsibly. From all of us at the Lincoln National Forest, thank you for recreating responsibly.
You're listening to Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230, 101.9. Everybody's having a fantastic Monday. Well, we've got Rams-Seahawks, Patriots-Broncos, and the two championship games. I would venture to say you've got the four best teams probably remaining. You could, maybe you could say Buffalo, but I, you know, the problem is obviously for Denver. They got to go to Jarrett Stidham now, which, hey, you never know, man. Opportunity for the guy to step up and maybe play well. I see some people out there, oh, you need to go get like Drew Brees or somebody. It's like, the guy's been the backup quarterback for that team all year long. If he's not good enough to at least give them a shot, then, you know, that's that's just bad luck at the end of the day. But bringing in somebody off the street at this point in the year, just a terrible, terrible idea, to be honest. So, yeah, I'll be curious to see what happens with Rams and Seahawks. I've said the Seahawks, I really didn't think they were that great. Man, they put the hammer to San Francisco over the weekend. So maybe they are easily the best team in the NFL. Talk about a team that made some decisions there to, you know, move on from their quarterback and, you know, go get a guy. Honestly, I would love to see Sam Darnold win a championship. I think that would be cool. Just because, you know, the Jets sent him off, and then for whatever reason, the Vikings were like, well, we drafted somebody, so we can't stick with him. And I understood, you know, Darnold has his moments where he doesn't play the best, but, man, if he can hold it together for two more games, it seems like they'll be, you know, we're never going to have another thing to say about it, you know. But, yeah, I mean, the Patriots' defense obviously took advantage of a poor playing C.J. Stroud. And, you know, Drake May didn't make the same mistakes. And, you know, they won, I mean, at the end of the day. So, I feel bad for the Houston defense, man. Rough stuff there. And I think we've already talked up the Bills and the Broncos part of it. So, let's go to the phones during the roundup.
Hey, it's Mark. How's it going?
What's up, man?
It's all right. It's going well.
Oh, that's right. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the show, I was like, I showed up. All right, you know, so.
Well, to show you how today went, I thought today was Friday for some reason, and then I was like, oh, it's Monday. So, but, yeah, after last night's game, I just turned off the TV. Good season. Good season.
You know, here's one thing I will say. I don't think the Bears necessarily expected to be in the position that they were this year. So I think it may be not as painful as other Bears losses, I would say, where there have been some years where you felt like, man, your team should be doing more and just can't quite get there. I would say, like, when they lost to the Packers with Jay Cutler as quarterback, that was a tougher loss.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, a lot of people are talking about, like, obviously everybody's going to play Monday morning quarterback this morning. A lot of people are talking about, maybe is Ben Johnson too aggressive on fourth down? I have no problem with the play calling on fourth down. Like, he just obviously, he's done it all season. It's not like it's something he just started doing in the NFC Championship or the NFC playoffs or anything. I have no issues with going for it on fourth down. Like, I think he also just felt that maybe field goals weren't going to win the game.
Yeah. That I think yesterday that was a little bit of a mistake, just simply because I don't mind the aggressiveness. That doesn't bother me at all. But I think pretty early on in that game, you got the feeling like it was going to be a low-scoring game. Neither offense
was
really
doing
much.
I think the first drive you're talking about where they got down to the red zone and they probably should have kicked a field goal, but I wasn't surprised because he's been aggressive all year long with that. So I think I haven't listened to any sports radio or anything today because I've just been busy. But, like, I think a lot of criticism probably going to go on DJ Moore today, especially that overtime throw where a lot of people feel like that, you know, if he was the reason that interception happened, like, that he didn't finish his route, and if that's the kind of the effort you're going to give when your season's in the line, you know, and there have been questions about him, quote, taking plays off this season, too. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's a topic of conversation. For all the good that he has done, it's like, sometimes that stuff happens, but I know I saw, you know, Chris Collinsworth pointed it out, Chase Daniel pointed it out, but a lot of people just pointing out, like, that pick's not on Caleb Williams. That's on DJ Moore for just really bad effort.
Wait a minute, Mark. I'm told that the only person on the field is the quarterback, and they're the only person that wins and loses.
Oh, that's right. You know, because Josh Allen can't beat Bo Nix. That's the going to be the whole narrative now.
Josh Allen doesn't have the clutch gene. That's my other thing that I've heard this year. He just doesn't get it done in clutch situations.
Dude, I know I've texted you, and it's going to always happen, but, like, Jim, and I'm sure they're told to do this, but, like, I like Jim Nance, one of the best in the game. But he's talking about, you know, about how there's no Lamar, no Mahomes, and it's like the quarterbacks are not on the field at the same time. So it just doesn't, like, this argument doesn't make sense to me.
Well, the funny thing is why they bring up Lamar Jackson is the Bill. I don't think the Bills ever lost to Lamar Jackson. I think they've beaten him every, like, Patrick Mahomes, sure. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they're the Bills' daddy. There's no doubt about that. But, like, I don't know why they keep bringing up Lamar, because it's like, the Bills actually have done pretty well against the Ravens in the postseason. You know,
yeah.
And even Joe Burrow, I know they lost to Joe Burrow, but I mean, it is one game, but it's been the Chiefs. And I just, you know, like, who was it? This, you know, Cam Newton and Ryan Clark, and, you know, he doesn't have the clutch, you know. And my problem with that is that's not really true in the postseason. He's actually, Saturday, he had a bad game. You look at the rest of his postseason games, he's been very good. And that's the thing that bugs me about it, is it's not really true. Now, did his team win? No. But the idea that somehow he's been the problem is like, come on, man. I mean,
I think I said this last week. Like, I understand that the quarterback is the most important position on the field, and it's going to get the most criticism and it's going to get the most praise. It's just the reality of it. To this whole, like, versus, it's like, this. First of all, like, I don't think record is a quarterback stat. This is not baseball. This is not hockey, like, where a goalie gets a record. Like, I don't understand it. Like, basketball, I could give you an argument if you want to go player versus player, because they're on the court at the same time. So,
well, and, it's the other thing, is it's just the big sports media thing, is the sports media have built Josh Allen into something. And now the sports media is deciding, well, it's time to tear him down because the sports media has, you know, made, oh, nobody can criticize him. And I'm like, wait a minute, who said nobody could criticize him? You can criticize him. Do whatever you want. This whole idea of, you know, you haven't been allowed to criticize him. Has there been a rule? Did somebody create a law? No, John. I mean, did the president write an executive order? You can't criticize Josh Allen. I'm like, it's such a machine sometimes in the sports media world, where it's just like, you're ridiculous. You know, it's the dumbest thing ever. And as I talked about at the top of the show, I shouldn't care about their opinions, but there's times when people with a big megaphone says something stupid, and it's just like, it's hard not to just be like, you know, you've got this opportunity to reach so many people, and this is how you choose to use it. And it's like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, but like, you see with the Bears, like, I'm interested to see what they do in the offseason now. Like, they're not going to trade DJ Moore or anything. Like, you know, he's too important to the team. But hopefully now they can do something, maybe get some defensive players, because they didn't really spend money on that side of the ball this year. But they really couldn't. But obviously we've seen this before, to where they have a great season where they win the division, and then it just falls apart. So hopefully that doesn't happen after this year.
Well, I mean, the one thing I will say for the Bears is they obviously had a lot of one-score wins and a lot of crazy wins this year. So they really do need to make some improvements.
They're going to be a first-place schedule too. Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, Caleb Williams has got to show some improvement from this year to next. And you know, and it should, honestly, because it's the second year under Ben Johnson, he should get better next year.
Oh yeah, for sure.
If he's going to be the guy, if he's going to be the guy that can take them to championship contention, if he doesn't get better next year, I think, you know, that's when you start to get a little concerned. So.
Yep. By the way, do the Broncos just like sign every former Auburn quarterback or something?
I don't know.
Bo Nix ended up transferring to Oregon, but he is on the NFL board for Auburn. But just kind of funny. I was like, do they have every former Auburn quarterback? Go get Cam Newton.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, and Patriots know Jarrett Stidham well, so I mean, a different coaching staff at the time, but I think there's still some holdovers there, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Hey, that's the 2018 Music City MVP though that you're talking about. Music City Bowl MVP.
Well, I mean, honestly, this is his chance at glory. I mean, he's never, because the guy's probably not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. We've seen that, but if he can put it together for two games, man, he'll have that under his hat for, you know, like a very Nick Foles kind of thing.
Yep. Well, for tonight, I think the line is too much. I'm actually surprised. I think it's 8.5 is what it is for Indiana. I'm hoping it's a close game, but we'll see. So.
As much as I want it to be, I'm just sort of feeling like Indiana's going to go in there and it's going to be ugly.
Well, I have to do the task of turning my phone off and watching it later. So, but
well, I mean, if you do get
sacrifices,
if you do get spoiled, Hopefully it's because Indiana is just absolutely thumping the heck out of
Miami. You know what I was thinking? Like, last year was a pretty decent national championship, right?
Oh, yeah.
I want to say Ohio State, like Notre Dame, I think, came back late and made it interesting, right?
Yeah, it was. I seem to remember it was a pretty good game.
Right. Michigan-Washington was kind of because I think we expected that to be a better game, but Michigan was just by far the better team.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, before that, Georgia-TCU was just a blowout. So really, like, the last few national championships have not been great, but we've had such good, like, semifinal games this year, and we had some quarterfinal games, too. But this Indiana has been blowing everybody out.
Yeah, we had one good semifinal game, but yeah, the other quarterfinal games were good. I hope it's a good game. You know, it's one of those that I really don't have. I mean, I used to be a big Miami fan. I sort of fell out, and I'd feel really disingenuous to claim them because I've, you know, basically stuck with New Mexico State since that point. So and honestly, I think whoever wins, it'll be kind of cool because Miami hasn't won in a while, and Indiana, this is such an unbelievable thing that they've gotten to where they are. It would be a very cool to see them finish it off.
Are SEC fans ready to take Indiana seriously? Because that seemed to be like the sentiment when they were playing Alabama in the Rose Bowl. Like, oh, it's just Indiana.
I wonder if SEC folks are even watching tonight, in all honesty.
Go take a look at Joey Marinaro's, his Paul Feinbaum impression. It's pretty funny. It's like he does his impression of, like, nobody really cares about the game. It's just a nice little story. So we'll go back to our normal stuff tomorrow.
Well, what I will say is I know the ratings for the semifinals, like, you look at the cities, and it's a lot of SEC cities. Which, I mean, like, I think Birmingham was up towards the top, and it wasn't like Alabama was in it in the semifinals, so.
I think that was college football for the entire season.
Oh, was it? I thought it was for the semifinal weekend.
No, I thought it was for the entire season that Birmingham was number one, which is not a shock at all.
No.
I mean, they'll probably get some pretty good. There's really no other competition on tonight. So it's really cold here. It's like 7 degrees, so most of the Midwest is going to be inside anyways. People are actually lining out in this cold in Bloomington to watch the game. So hopefully nobody gets frostbite or anything while going to watch the Hoosiers.
They're going to watch the game outside in Bloomington?
Well, no. They're in line to get in for like a bar or something in Bloomington. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's no way I would be in line for anything right now when it's single-digit weather and it's windy, too. It's like, come on now.
I know. I went outside across the street to go to Dunkin' Donuts, and I was like, I don't even want to go outside in like an hour or two. I have to go on the subway to go downtown. I'm not really looking forward to going outside. But yeah, I think I texted yesterday, one of my friends, like, are you jealous you're not at Soldier Field? No, I'm not. You know why? Because I was on my couch with a hot chocolate. It was great.
Yeah, that's why I always, and I keep seeing these people on, especially on social media, who are getting mad about all these new dome stadiums, and we've talked about that a lot, but it's like, why? Like, are you going to games all the time? Do you really enjoy the cold weather aspect of it? Because I think those people who are saying those things, they're not the ones who are sitting in the cold weather watching games. I'm like 99% sure that person does not go to games in the cold.
Every Buffalo Bills fan that I've met loves it, and that's great, and that's why Buffalo is going to stick with their new stadium not being a dome. I understand it, but like, for me personally, never again. I did it one time, never again. So I am excited that the new stadium is going to be a dome wherever they decide to build it. I don't care. You can build it in Northwest Indiana for all I care. So just please build a dome. Yeah, but you're right. Every new stadium is what Washington just released their renderings. That's going to be a dome. Kansas City's going to be a dome. Cleveland, Denver. Is new Nashville going to be a dome or no?
I don't think so. I want to say that's open air.
But Nashville's like, I mean, it's mild weather, so it's not warm, but it's not like...
It depends on the day and the time of year. They're one of those places that gets everything.
Right, but as we've talked about, too, like, the reason Chicago wants a dome is because they want a Super Bowl. And to get a Super Bowl, like, the New York one, that was just, like, a one-time thing. Like, I don't think they're ever going to go back to New York again for a Super Bowl. But if Chicago wants a Super Bowl, they have to have that. If they want a Final Four, if they want college football national championship, all those events that they're missing out on because they don't have a dome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, by the way, the renderings of that DC arena, that looks unbelievable. If that,
I like how they kept like a lot of the RFK stadium stuff on there.
Yeah. If it looks as cool as the artist renderings do, that's going to be awesome looking with the Capitol.
Well, apparently, I haven't read it lately, but I think Cleveland, the city of Cleveland, is trying to invoke the clause in their contract that they can't leave the city of Cleveland after that was put in with the new franchise after they left for Baltimore. But apparently, obviously, the Browns are arguing we're not leaving Cleveland. We're going to the suburbs.
Yeah, that's that'll be a fun legal battle for sure. You're parsing things now, without a doubt.
Exactly. So that's what I would say when the lawyers get involved. So, yes. You got to think too that Cleveland's eventually going to bid for a Super Bowl. I got to think Kansas City and Denver will now that they have domes.
Now we all know who's undefeated in that world, and that's billable hours. So.
No, this is true. Yeah.
All right, man. Appreciate the call.
Yep. Take care.
Later. All right. Let's take a break. More of the roundup next.
No roadblocks are scheduled today on Highway 70, 54 South, or 380. For the latest roadblock information, call 575-678-1178. Tonight's forecast, mostly clear skies. In Alamogordo, expect a low of 26. Cloudcroft, an overnight low of 17. For Tuesday, we're looking at sunny skies, clear tomorrow night. In Alamogordo tomorrow, high of 56, low of 28. Cloudcroft tomorrow, high of 46, low of 23 degrees.
Use the equity in your home to finance your dreams. This is Leanne Bain from First National Bank. Plan those special vacations, those home improvements, and simply pay off those high interest rate bills. It's easy. Apply for your home equity line of credit today.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, all subject to credit approval.
Discover our great mortgage loan rates, our competitive closing costs on conventional VA, FHA, and first-time home buyers. This is Deborah from First National Bank. Affordable solutions for the home you deserve.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, all subject to credit approval.
Hi. This is Cambry Seiling, Executive Director of Kids Inc. Child Advocacy Center. Kids Inc. serves child victims in Otero and Lincoln counties by providing child forensic interviews, family advocacy, crisis counseling, medical referrals, and case tracking in coordination with our many multidisciplinary team partners working child abuse and neglect investigations. Our mission is to increase the quality of life for our children. For more information, contact me at 575-214-2558.
You thought it was loving to do this.
Want to come back to my place?
Which resulted in this. What is loving is paying your child support to support them. Do the loving thing and pay your child support today.
Payment processed. Payment received.
Contact the Child Support Services Division and meet your monthly obligation for your children. Visit yes.nm.gov or call 1-800-283-4465. Brought to you by the HCA, the NMBA, and this station.
Big Brothers Big Sisters needs you. We are always looking for bigs and littles for both community-based and site-based matches. We only need 1 hour per week for you to invest in the life of a child. No special skills are required, just the ability to listen, care, and support. When you give us that 1 hour per week, together we can change a life. To get started, call Brenda Dorsey, Vice President of Rural Programs at 575-708-0716. Again, that number is 575-708-0716. Thank you in advance.
We put our lives on the line for our country. We braved the unknown. We did what we were told. And we lit up. Our cigarette packs were as valuable as the packs on our back. Maybe more. At one point, cigarettes were part of our daily ration. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. And boy, we were smoking 'em. Bumming a smoke was the norm. It was an escape from the reality of dirt, sweat, and forgetting how many days you were so far from home. Never had to worry so long as you had a light and the smoking lamp was lit. If that was you then, get your lungs screened now. Surviving lung cancer starts with a scan. Learn more at screenyourlungs.org. And thank you for your service. This PSA was made possible by industry funding and guidance from lung cancer patient groups.
You're listening to Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230-1019. Get ready to finish up the show for today. Probably some one other local, and I mean, I don't cover horse racing much. It's just not a sport that I feel like I know a ton about. But I'm sad to see the story that this year they're not going to have racing up at Ruidoso Downs. Continues to be issues with obviously the flooding that they had the last two summers, and they didn't feel comfortable with, I mean, going through and repairing the track again, and because of the where it sits in the floodplain and everything. So uncertain of what the future of horse racing is in Ruidoso, which is a huge shame. I mean, the futurity and the things they did up there were, I mean, huge horse races. They're going to move it to Albuquerque again this year. I believe the casino is staying open. So, I mean, that's still that business is still going to go along. But I'm sure they're trying to figure out what the possibilities are for them going forward in terms of racetrack. So just feel so sorry for the folks that with the racetrack and casino and the employees there, and you know, it absolutely unfortunate. You know, it just, I don't know if there's really a whole lot more to add to that, but I did see that story popped up within the last couple hours, actually. And so you just, again, feel for all the folks that have put so much time and effort into that racetrack. And, you know, I think the other, to me, maybe the even tougher part about it is just it's kind of another hit for Ruidoso in that area. You know, they've obviously gone through so much, it feels like, the last 2 years now, and it's, you know, it's part of their economy. It's an important part of their economy. So feel for them, and hopefully there's a, you know, a silver lining or a solution at the end of the tunnel. But as of right now, it's, I'm sure with, you know, the burn scar, unfortunately, is going to be a problem for a number of years, and that's, you know, they're going to get those afternoon thunderstorms, and unfortunately, they're going to be dealing with that a lot probably in the coming years. So just feel for them, without a doubt. So, all right. No high school sports going on today, and not a super busy week of sports coming up. There's definitely plenty going on, but it's a little bit quieter because Alamo starts district this week and Mescalero Apache boys don't play. So we've got boys games on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday this week. Alamo boys at Centennial on Tuesday, the home against Oregon Mountain on Friday. Thule boys host Magdalena on Tuesday at 6:30. And then we'll go to Mesilla Valley Christian on Thursday at 6 p.m. And then you've got Cloudcroft versus Dexter on Friday at 7 p.m. On the girls' side, Alamo girls are at home on Tuesday, 6:30. They are at Oregon Mountain at 6:30 on Friday. Thule girls at Estancia tomorrow. Cloudcroft girls at home against Dexter on Friday. And then, of course, Thursday through Saturday, you've got the Tularosa Girls Tournament that's going on out there. Gosh, the name of it is escaping me at the moment. I'll have the bracket later in the week, but yeah, the name of the tournament is not. It's a relatively new name, so I'm having trouble remembering it. Like, the Johnny May Classic's been around for so long, it just kind of rolls off the tongue sort of thing. We also have swimming this week. Alamogordo goes to Artesia on Saturday. Alamogordo Wrestling is headed to Centennial coming up on Wednesday. So that's our full schedule for this week. Again, the national championship game is coming up tonight. I hope it's a good game. That's all I could really say going into it. Indiana feels like the favorite, but, you know, it's one of those things with Miami. If they hadn't had that rough run in the middle of the season, maybe we would be viewing them at the same level as Indiana, just with the talent level that they have. But we'll find out tonight, yeah. Maybe even talent level doesn't matter, just the fact that Indiana's playing so well at the moment. You've got NBA that's actually going on now as well. NBC and Peacock have got Thunder Cavs. They'll also have Mavericks Kings and then Celtics Pistons. They've got a triple header of NBA on this Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. It's cool. The NHL's got a somewhat busy schedule. Nothing nationally televised or ESPN Plus games. Actually, no, TNT's got Capitals and Avs right now. That's taking place. No top 25 college basketball games today. Obviously, their college is focused on the football sort of deal. So enjoy the game tonight right here on Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230-1019. We'll be on there with Tiger basketball tomorrow evening. Alamogordo cheer on this program at 2 p.m. tomorrow. Check it out.
You're listening to Alamo Sports and Talk, KRSY 1230 AM and K270 CS 101.9 FM, Alamogordo.
Trade for him to bring him to Buffalo, or Mike McCarthy back in the NFL to Buffalo.